You're listening to Vatican Radio. Migration as well as monetary matters have been dominating discussions at the World Economic Forum taking place this week in Davos, Switzerland. The annual three-day event, which concludes on Saturday, brings together politicians, business leaders and opinion makers to share analysis of global financial trends as well as key challenges facing the world today. In a message to the meeting, Pope Francis urged world leaders to heed the cry of the poor, saying that the present moment offers an opportunity to build inclusive societies based on respect for human dignity, tolerance, compassion and mercy. Among the faith leaders attending the summit is the General Secretary of the World Council of Churches, Norwegian pastor Dr. Olaf Fixitveit. He talked to me about this year's forum and about a meeting on the migration crisis that the WCC convened in Geneva with several UN agencies earlier in the week.
This year, the focus in the meeting here in Davos is about what they call the fourth technological revolution or industrial revolution. I think that's another opportunity to discuss how can the new opportunities and the new possibilities, both in technology but also in cooperation between the different sectors, be used for the good, for the common good in a new way. After the agreement in Paris in December, the big implementers of the new technology that we need must be those who are here. Particularly the business and people and investors have a lot of resources which now has to be directed into new technology and also new possibilities for all of us. That's one dimension, and I think it's important for us to convey that we urge these people with all these responsibilities of having so much means and tools in their hands that they really use it now for the common good and particularly to improve the situation for the poor of the world.
Pope Francis also had a message for the business leaders there, again appealing in a similar way for better and fairer development models. Do you think that these leaders there are listening to the voices of faith leaders?
I think they also live in a world that is actually the same world as we live, namely a world that has a lot of conflict and crises and challenges, and where, for example, the problems related to inequality is a problem for whole societies, not only for the poor. It is destabilizing, it leads to terror, it leads to violence, it leads to refugees. Also for business to function well, the need of civil society and its contribution to stabilizing the society is quite important. I don't know whether they listen to all what we say, but I think more of them understand that they also have to do their priorities based on other values than only profit, also to be sustainable businesses in the long run.
Earlier in the week, you looked very closely, didn't you, at the current migrant crisis, particularly in Europe, but also elsewhere around the world. And you issued a very strong call to action at the end of that meeting organised by the WCC and various UN bodies.
Yeah, it's a unique statement in many ways. One is that it is a unique statement between the World Council of Churches and three UN-based organisations. Secondly, that we now speak about how all sectors of the society, and particularly also now in Europe, have to go together and contribute, all of us, to find solutions to these challenges we are now facing. We cannot solve them by closing the borders and ignore the international human rights that refugees have to seek asylum and to get protection when they are in need, for children to get protection, for women and so on. So I think we have a strong message about collaboration, about the focus on the needs of women and children. And we also have, with the words of the Minister of Interior for Germany, who addressed this conference, a very clear statement that both governments and civil sector and international organizations must play together. And we can do much more if we collaborate more.
As you mentioned, the focus was largely on the plight of children. In the statement, you say that the refugee crisis is rapidly becoming a children's crisis. What else can you do? What else are you hoping that people will do to try and put these ideas, these goals into practice to protect the rights of children?
I'm very proud to say that I know that in many countries, in many churches, there is a very strong focus, particularly on the needs of children who are refugees or asylum seekers. And I think a lot is done already, both in terms of advocacy for their right to be, for a humanitarian approach to their needs, but also in practical diaconical work to contribute to offer families where they can live or other community-based services, particularly related to their education. And that's already the case, but we need more, and we need this commitment to continue and not to be weakened after months, and we probably have to say years, when this situation will be a reality.
That's extremely difficult to do, isn't it? Because the media attention moves on, there are other crises, and there's also a rise often of xenophobic and racist attitudes as the problems of the host countries increase.
Well, I think this is really a struggle about the soul of Christianity and the soul of Europe. Do we really stand for the humanitarian values, caring for the most vulnerable, as an expression of our Christian and humanitarian values? We see tendencies, strong tendencies, unfortunately, to say that we don't want these refugees because they belong to another religious community, because they're Muslims. And there is a protectionist and a nationalist approach in many countries based on fear that the churches, I think, have to address, particularly on a local level, in the local communities, and address it again and again. That's the only way we can go beyond this status of polarization. And in this, I'm quite sure that the churches as institutions that continue to do what we do and what we say every Sunday is one of those who can make a difference.
You say very clearly that closing national borders to refugees is not a solution because it only shifts the responsibility. But what can specifically church leaders do in those countries where governments are trying to close borders?
One way was to make this conference and call together and say it is both our duty as Christians, but it also as citizens, we should call our countries to live up to their international obligations, which they have signed in these conventions. In addition to that, I think it's a matter of showing in practice that this is about human beings with extremely difficult conditions and perspectives for their lives. And I think the practical work of the church is a very strong voice here.
It's significant that this meeting came at the beginning of the annual week of prayer for Christian unity. There is obviously during this week a strong focus on worship together, praying together and so on. But do you think that these practical necessities right now are where the church's attention should be focused?
I think it is focused. And I think we see that ecumenical cooperation on these issues is stronger than we have seen for years. I think this is a common witness that also leads to a common practice and common diaconical work for many. I have many very encouraging examples which I hear about that make this connection between this prayer for Christian unity and also common collaboration for the needy. I would also here point to the very interesting and very important new initiatives by the Protestants in Italy and the San Egidio movement to provide a safe passage for people in need from North Africa and the Middle East. And that was presented also in our conference as a very important sign of possibilities within the Schengen system and the laws that are not used, but also possibility of ecumenical cooperation and what that can lead to.